for the response that people are giving pertaining to what God wants to do here in this city. You know, the meetings that we had recently about giving out the stuff that Conway of Hope gave us, and, you know, other people who have stepped up and spent personal money to buy stuff just to give and things of that nature. And God really, I know, He wants to use us to reach this city. And it's more than, you know, I preached for 13 weeks on the whole master key thing, and that's all part of it, but it's so much more than that. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more today. Karen and I, last Friday night, we went to Clyde, another Baptist church, that asked me to speak. And so I went over there, and we walk up, and when I, you know, there's this little church. I didn't even know it was there. You know, when you go through Clyde on the way north, if you turn left into the, there's a fast track right there. But if you turn right, right in front of that fast track, and you go across a parking lot, there's a little church back in there. I never knew it was there. We pull up, and there's these porta-johns right in front. You know, those handicapped ones that people use in their homes. Elderly people use them and things like that. I mean, right there in front. And it's like, well, that's one way to advertise church, right? You know? But as soon as I saw them, I thought, wow, these guys are doing something. And when I went inside and I saw, they have a room probably the size of this sanctuary filled with clothes to give away. I was amazed. I'm like, you know what, God, it's not just what you want to do here, it's what you want to do everywhere. And I commended them, people. I said, you know what, as soon as I pulled up, I knew that you guys were awesome. So I saw those things sitting out in the front there, and I said, you know what, there's people that understand the needs, understand that there's need, and they're doing something about it. And that's what I believe God has called us to do. To do something. I've been preaching about speaking the gospel and sharing the gospel with others, and I really hope that you're doing that. Over there, they have been doing the part that we're going to talk about next. They have been doing all the giving and doing all the reaching out. And the two need to be married together. When we speak truth, we need to show them proof by helping out and doing what we can for those who have need. And in this particular state, there's great need. I don't want to get into the particulars of it, but there's a lot of decline in this state. I remember a year ago, my wife and I traveled around the state. We just took a drive. It was for our anniversary. We just took a drive. We went through the mountains over to Catskills and up the other side of the Hudson River and around and made our way back through Albany and came back across. And everywhere we went, we saw businesses closed. We saw, you know, just decline everywhere. And with that decline means that there's people in need. I mean, that's just the way it is. And God wants to use us. And so we had a great time over there the other night, and I shared with them, you know, the five verses of the Master Key, and they got so excited. They said, that's exactly what we needed to hear right now. And so they blessed us, and hopefully we blessed them. But I'm realizing that, you know, it's time, church. The church to be the church, be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, and get out and do something. We change our whole mentality needs to change. Church as we know it is I don't believe the way we should continue. I think church as we know it should. Yeah, I mean, we need to gather here. We need to worship the Lord. We need to hear His word preached, and we need to do these things. But you know what? If we're not doing church on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, do we really have any business coming in here pretending that we're doing church here on Sunday? If you think about it, the verse I have here, I've talked about this so much. He's answered, said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Three people three things there we're instructed to do: love God, love our neighbors, and love ourselves. You know, we get so caught up in the world and so caught up in all the stuff that's going on around us that we forget the three things that Jesus said this is the most important thing to do. Love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you, God, that, Lord, you make it plain, you make it clear. Help us, God, to walk in it. Help us, God, to do it in a way that pleases and glorifies you. I ask your blessing on this message, and Lord, that you will speak to our hearts today and change our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor, love yourself. Look at Matthew. Oh, by the way, before I even go there, or I'm sorry, I'm going to go to Mark chapter 10. No, I'm not. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 25. Seem to be a little discombobulated today. Before I start here, I don't know if you noticed that I dropped a pick today. I never drop picks. My microphone thing fell off. And I'm one of those, you guys know me, when I break a string, I think, you know what, that means something else. That means God's breaking stuff off people. To me, I take the things in the natural and I apply them spiritual. Because I believe the two are hand in hand a lot of times, especially if we're in the middle of worship. And so today, a pick fell to the ground, my microphone fell to the ground. And so I believe that perhaps today, for somebody here, I don't know who, God is just breaking stuff off, just letting it fall off, okay? I don't know what that means to anybody, but just understand this. If you've been carrying something that you don't need to carry, or if something's just been burdening you and it's been overwhelming you, today's the day God's just going to let it drop off, okay? And so just take that for whatever it is. If that's you, God bless you. Be set free today from whatever that burden is. It's coming off. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 31. It says here, the Son of Man will judge the nations at the top of this particular portion of Scripture. And verse 31 says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Now, I'm going to make just a brief mention here about, it says glory twice. The Son of Man comes in his glory and he will sit on the throne of glory. And what that's talking about there, the word glory has a couple of different definitions, okay? One of the definitions, and you can look it up, the original word, and again, I'm not one of those guys that I'm not going to try to pronounce what the Greek word is and all that. I can't pronounce it anyway. I'm not even going to pretend I know what it is. All I know is I looked it up and I found out what the definition of glory is, okay? If you don't trust me, go look it up yourself in a Strong's Concordance. You'll find it. One of the meanings is majesty or his splendor. And so he shows up. The Son of Man comes in his majesty. Another definition for the same exact word is judgment. And so what it's saying there is Jesus, the Son of Man, comes in his majesty with all the holy angels with him. Then he will sit on the throne of his judgment. Okay? We all know that we're going to stand before the Lord. Everyone is going to stand before the Lord. You think about all the atrocity that's going on in the earth today. Every single one will stand before the judgment seat of God, and he will be just. Verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We'll stop there just for a moment. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Remember, what are we doing when we preach the gospel? We're fishing for men, right? We've been talking about this. Bait. We need bait. We use love as the bait. How do we fish for men? With love. Everybody will respond to love. the net that we're going to use is our testimony, what God has done for me, what God has done for you. And the boat is God's kingdom. We want to draw people into God's kingdom. And so he's saying there that there's a time coming that Jesus is going to come with all the holy angels. He's going to sit on his throne. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats, which we'll learn is the good from the bad, the righteous from the unrighteous. And those that are blessed of God will inherit the kingdom that is prepared. I'm looking forward to that day, inheriting God's kingdom. That is awesome. And you know, I really love the idea that we get to experience some of it right here on earth. You know, whenever you feel his overwhelming presence in your soul, you know, that's his kingdom. He said at the beginning, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's at hand means it's right here. And so we walk in his presence and we experience a bit of his kingdom. But when he comes, we will inherit the fullness of it. What a joy that will be. Verse 35, for I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger, take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, as surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to me, to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now understand something. That's really interesting what he says there. The righteous will inherit, it says, the kingdom, okay, that was prepared for them. But the unrighteous will inherit everlasting fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. Understand this. Human beings were never meant to go to hell. Never. Hell was not a place prepared for you and I. It was not a place prepared for any human being. The kingdom of God has always been the destination for human beings. But understand, if we don't live our lives in a way that is pleasing to God, we are putting ourselves in jeopardy. And we are choosing not his kingdom, but rather the latter, the place that is prepared for the devil and his angel. I know that God doesn't want any man to perish. He does not want any human soul to end up in hell. And that's why we got to be passionate about what we do. We got to be serious about what we do. This isn't a game. You know, when we go to work, it's are we just wherever it is God puts us. We got to be real about this stuff. Because God doesn't want anybody to go someplace that was prepared for the devil. He wants us to go to the place that was prepared for man. It says, I was, verse 42, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That portion of Scripture alone, for lack of a better phrase, should scare the hell out of us. Right? And we should look at that and say, oh my gosh, what are we doing? Are we feeding the hungry? Are we clothing the naked? Are we sheltering the homeless? Are we visiting those in prison? You know, we may do it a little here, we may do it a little there, but you know what? I think it's something we should do. We should be thinking about all the time. You know why? Because all the time there's someone in need. Now, we can only do so much. We only have so much in our bank accounts. We only have so much room in our homes. We only have, you know, so much stuff available. And so don't feel like, oh, we've got to do it all by myself. But when you get a group of people like this together, as many people as we have sitting in here, we can do a lot more. We can do a great lot more. Now, we had a meeting a little bit ago about the stuff for the Convoy of Hope had given us to give out. And I've already delivered some of it. I've gone to a few places. But, you know, my wife and I were talking, and she was right. She said, you know, you don't need to be the one to make all the contacts. More people should be involved. And so what I would like for you to do, if you would like to be a person who would be willing to make a contact, do some research, find out who the person is that needs to receive that stuff that we decided was going. For instance, I have a card in my pocket. I haven't called them yet, but there's a card in my pocket to call. Well, let me pull it out here. I'm going to ask one of you ladies to do this. Elizabeth McConnell, Domestic Violence Service Advocate. I would like one of the ladies to call this number, get a hold of her, and see if they would like the feminine products that we have, the soap for women that are victims of domestic violence, and they're in hiding, they're in sheltered homes and places like that. I talked to a lady over at DSS in Waterloo. We happened to be there, and she thought, wow, that was a great idea. And she also told me, I did not know this, but DSS, I don't know what they do in Geneva, and I've got to make some connection there as well. But over in Waterloo, the people that work at DSS bring in stuff on their own, and they have a little storage of their own, and when they see people come through that really have need, they give it. It's like, wow, that's a whole different, every time I've dealt with DSS, it's like trying to jump through hoops and fires. But these people are willing to help, willing to serve. It's just amazing how I see God, you know, stirring up hearts to reach out people in need. And so you had something you wanted to say, Kim? Can you do this? You know her? And you know her? Awesome. You have her number? All right, I'll get with you and we'll talk about that, because I definitely want that to take place in Hollywood. You could go in twos. That would be great if the two of you went together. Awesome. See how God does that? I had no idea that anybody in this room knew this woman. And there's it. So we've already got connection and don't even know it. How can this be? How can we, the body of Christ, we see each other almost on a weekly basis, and we don't even know, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. That's an interesting thing. There's some other products. If you'd be willing to help us with, and you know what, Brother Ben over here, he's purchased some stuff, and by the way, he purchased it out of his own pocket. And so, and it was costly. Some hats and mittens for kids in this city. And he's praying, you know, okay, how are we going to do this? If you got an idea on how to disperse those things in the city, talk to him, let him know. If you would like to donate some to him, I'm sure he'd be happy to have some help. He's paid out of his pocket. But you know what? We need to be working together. Not just us, but even the other churches. Let me share a quick testimony. I shared last week how we have a vision for a House of Hope for women. We have a vision for a House of Hope for men. We have a guy who's already got a house. Last week after breakfast, one of the guys left breakfast, and he's walking down the street, and he says to me, he called me up afterward all excited. He says, I just felt like Something told me to go in Hampton Inn. So he goes into Hampton Inn, and he asks to speak to the manager. He speaks to the manager, and I don't even know what all the conversation was, but the end of the story is they're getting ready to switch out all of their beds. And they're going to give the house the beds. And it's like, wow. God is doing stuff. He's putting stuff together. And so it's not just, again, it's not just about us, but we really ought to get our act together. If you know of some need, and I'm going to talk about that, if you know of some need that you can't meet, bring it up, because somebody else here can. You know what, maybe we should make a list and just have a list that we can all go to on a weekly basis and see, okay, here's a need here, here's a need here. Oh, I can take care of that and sign off on it and those types of things. But reaching out, loving God, loving your neighbor, and loving yourself. But here's the thing. This is really interesting. I read this portion of Scripture for a reason. He says, you did it to me. You did it to me. Karen and I are reading this book. We got this at that training that we went to. It's called Externally Focused Church. And we're going through this on Sunday evenings. Basically what I'm doing, Karen, when we read a book, we highlight stuff that resonates, you know. And so what we've been doing on Sunday evening now is we're just kind of going through the things that we've highlighted and just talking about those things. One of the things I want to share with the whole church this morning, one of the ideas in this book, I'll read it to you real quick. Wow, it'll have to be real quick. In Matthew 25, 35 through 46, Jesus talks about this. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. Thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, you clothed me. Sick, you looked after me. And in prison, you came to visit me. His followers are confused and respond by asking, Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, thirsty, give you drink? And on and on. And then Jesus replies, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. It is not, here's the point, it is not those whom we minister who meet Jesus in a ministry encounter. Now, we all know the phrase, be Jesus to the world, right? We may be the only Jesus that they see. And so when we reach out, we're thinking in our minds, oh, you know, I'm giving them Jesus, and they're having an encounter with Jesus when we show up. But what he's saying here is, it is the ones who are doing the ministering. We're not Jesus to them. They're Jesus to us. He said, you did it to me. It's a whole different perspective on it. You see, when you see somebody who's hungry, that's Jesus. Feed him. When you see somebody who's naked, that's Jesus. Put some clothes on him. That's an interesting concept. Jesus doesn't say, as if you were doing it to me, which would imply a metaphor. He says, you were doing it to me. Mother Teresa described her ministry strategy as going out and looking for the dying, the crippled, the lonely, the unwanted, the unloved, Jesus in disguise. She was looking for Jesus. You know that homeless guy that we see walking through? That's Jesus. He says, when you do it for these, you did it to me. What an interesting way to look at it. Who doesn't want to bless Jesus? Huh? What's that? You want someone to bless everybody. Well, so does God. The house of who? Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. We know about the House of Concern, the Salvation Army, Catholic Charities, all those things. Yes, we're very aware of those. And you know what? And not only that, but the Methodist Church and their food program, the Faith Community, their food program, the Presbyterian Church and their food program, and all these things are taking place right here in our city, and we're not even a part of it. We should be. You got time on a Wednesday evening? If you're not coming to celebrate recovery, then go over there to, is it the Catholic, where do they do the meal? Patty? Every so many months they do it? Well, there's opportunity on certain Wednesday nights, so many months. to feed people. If you're not doing anything in the middle of the day, go to the Methodist church and say, hey, you know what, I'd like to help serve. They serve lunch every day. Over at Faith Community Church on Thursday nights, every Thursday night, they bring the kids of the city and they feed them. We can do that. I'm sure they could use the help. And I'm not sure, I got to check with the Alliance Church. They were, I don't know if they're doing it this year or not, but they were from 3 o'clock, I think, to 5 o'clock every day. They were taking kids right from that school on West Street. They would go over there and they would give them a snack. They'd help them with their homework. They'd share a little study with them and just care for them until it was either 5 or 6 o'clock when their parents come and get out of work and come and get them and take them home. Wouldn't that be a blessing for you as a parent if when you get out of work, you can go to this place, pick up your kids, their homeworks are done, they've already had a snack, and they're ready to be, you can have family time with them instead of worrying about Common Core math. Let's not go there. Those are some of the things that are in this, that we're discussing on Sunday nights, and I hope that you would come back and discuss some of those things with us. There's much more. But think about that. He said, you did it to me. And it goes right along. Matthew chapter 8, verse 20 says, Jesus said, the foxes have holes, the birds birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Sounds like a homeless guy, doesn't he? That's Jesus out there. And we need to feed him, we need to clothe him, we need to give him shelter. We need to visit him when he's not feeling well. Anybody would like to start a ministry over at any of the living centers where the elderly are or any of the homes, you know, they love that stuff. They need that stuff. Be thinking about these things. You see, we think we're Jesus to the world, but truth of it is, we are to minister to Jesus in the world. Now, isn't it interesting that we find the greatest fulfillment in life when we're able to minister to someone else with some sort of blessing? Isn't that interesting? Have you ever experienced that where God gave you the ability to bless somebody else and you're just like, wow, I feel really good right now? You know why that is? It's because when you're giving, when you're reaching out, when you're helping, you are fulfilling what God has called us to do. You are loving God because it's Him that we're ministering to. It's Jesus that we're ministering to. You are loving your neighbor because it's that actual person that's receiving the blessing, and you're loving yourself because there's no greater joy than helping others. Isn't that, you know, just a simple bless somebody else, and you are fulfilling the commandments that God gave us to love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. I think we should do more of that. I'm going to move on real quick. Mark chapter 10, verse 32 through 35. It says, now when they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, Jesus was going before them. They were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. He said, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. Now, we just want to make a quick mention there. Nobody is innocent. Nobody. We know, you know, we like to say, oh, well, it was the Jews that had him crucified. Yeah, but it was the Gentiles that did it. Nobody's innocent. Verse 35, then James and John, the son of Zebedee, came and said, teacher, we want you to do us a favor. Do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, grant us that we may sit one on your right and the other on your left in your glory. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said, we are able. And he said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink, in the baptism I am baptized with. You will be baptized, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those to whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John, but Jesus called them to himself and said, now before I go any farther, I just want to say something about that little bit of an encounter. You know, they wanted to sit in the best spot. They wanted to be right close to Jesus. And you know what? That's not a bad thing, to want to be close to Jesus, okay? Of course, they got a little bit of rebuke but about that, because only God knows who's going to be sitting on his left and sitting on his right. I trust that we'll all have opportunity to spend time with him. That's not an issue for me. But the thing that I want to make note of is Jesus said, are you able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm about to be baptized with? And he was talking about his death on the cross. Are you able to bear this kind of persecution to follow me? And when I read that, I thought, you know what? We really need to thicken up our skin a little bit. We get so offended and we go off so much when somebody just says, oh, you know, whatever they say. You know, you can't do this, you can't do that because you're a Christian. You know, you can't pray here, you can't have the Ten Commandments there, you can't do this. And we're like, oh my, that's terrible. Come on. If you're being persecuted, if somebody doesn't like the things you say and they get in your face about it, or they put you down or whatever the case may be, understand something. You're drinking the cup. It's not even near the cup that Jesus drank. And you're being baptized with the baptism that isn't even near what Jesus went through. And so let's not be so easily offended. You know what? There are people in the world today, Christians in the world today, who are fleeing their homes. They're running to places they don't even know where, with only the things that they can possibly carry because of the persecution, the baptism, and the drink, the cup that they're drinking. Many of them have already been slaughtered. They have been baptized with the same baptism that Jesus had. And here we are over in America. We have no reason to complain one bit. And so let's toughen up a little bit. I hear a lot of rhetoric, and I'm a Facebooker. I love that Facebook. I do it because I'm a social guy. I like to see what's going on in people's lives. I like to interact. I like to put posts on. I like to read other people's posts. But, you know, so we got to get off it a little bit. Sometimes it's a little bit much. It's like, you know, I'm sorry your day didn't work out the way you wanted it to work out because you're a Christian. Pull up your bootstraps and let's go out there and do it again. Let's be Jesus to the world. Let's minister to Jesus in the world. And let's do it with our heads held high, because whatever anybody says, and it doesn't matter who it is, whatever anybody says, we're still a believer in Jesus. We are still on our way to heaven. And whatever the persecution is, however slight or however drastic, we're going to walk through that with the grace of God and joy in our hearts, because we know where we're going. Amen? Now, he says in verse 42, he calls them to himself and he says, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, Jesus didn't even come to be served. He came to serve. And he calls us not to be served. He calls us to serve. You know, when I read that, I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting. Verse 43, it should not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And I'm like, I've always wondered, how did I get to be the pastor? What did I do? I didn't ask for this. But somehow it came to me, and it just... And now this is what... And I love it, and this is what I'm doing, and I hope you love the way I'm doing it. But when I read that verse this morning, I thought, you know what? You know, that kind of makes sense. You know how many years I unlocked the doors? You know how many years I turned on the lights and the sound system? How many years I just served this church? I've been serving this church for a long time. And I'm not saying that to make myself puffed up, but I want you to understand something. It's important, the things you do for the kingdom of God. He rewards people who serve. You want to be great in this city? Let's go out there and serve. And even if you're not looking for greatness, we still should be serving. And guess what? God will bless you. I think that's the only reason why I'm standing in the spot I'm standing in right now. Because long time ago, shortly after I got saved, actually, God put in my heart to just serve. The other day, and I'll give you an example. The other day, we finished breakfast, and one of the elderly men in the group is talking about this tree limb that's hanging over his house. He's all worried about it. He can't get it down. It's way up high. He can't get on his roof anymore. Do you know anybody? I said, you know what? I'll come over and take a look at it. I went over. I can do that. I climbed up on his roof, pulled the thing down. I cleaned his gutters while I was up there. That's the kind of stuff God wants all of us to do. If there's a need and you know of it and you're capable of fulfilling it, do it. Servant of all. Jesus gave his life a ransom for many. Can we give 5 minutes? It took me less than an hour to yank that thing off that guy's roof. Can we any part of our day? See, this is what I'm talking about. We got to think differently. When we get up in the morning, it can't be, okay, I got to go do my job, and then when I come home, I got to do dinner, and then when I get done with dinner, my favorite show is on, and then after that, I'm going to be all wore out and go to sleep and do it all again the next day. It should be when we wake up and before we put our feet on the floor in the morning, God, show me how I can serve somebody today. Show me a need. If a need comes my way, God, give me the ability to just to minister to Jesus. To love God, to love my neighbor, to love myself. And so here's the thing. What are the needs in our city that we can take care of as a church? This is something I really want to know. I want you guys, here's what I want. I want you guys to do homework. Every now and again I give homework. Sorry, church, I do that. Sometimes it's just posting a particular verse on your refrigerator. Sometimes it's saying a prayer before you get out of bed in the morning, whatever the case is. I want you to come back next week with a list of the needs of the city that you know of, okay? It doesn't matter how big or how small. If there's a need in this city and you know about it, write it down. Just like a moment ago, we found out, you know what? Somebody here knows something, knows. Somebody's already prepared for the next step, and I didn't even know it. You know about things that I don't know about. And when we come together and we take, you know, a list, I take whatever it is that you see as a need in the city, and we make a list of these things, we as a church can look at that list and say, hey, you know what? I think we can take care of that one. Or maybe we can do this one, or maybe we can do several of them. Thinking outside of the four walls of this church, thinking about our community, the community that we live in, that we want. We want change in our community, don't we? Are we willing to be a part of that change? Part of that is, what are the needs? What can we as a church do? Now, take it a little bit smaller, whether it's a citywide thing or even an individual thing. We need to minister to those needs as well. In other words, we could start at an individual level and then build up to citywide works, okay? So let's say in this list of needs, somebody, one of your neighbors has an issue. Matter of fact, there's a house right next to the house. When I was on the guy's roof, I noticed the house next door needs a roof. Now, I can't provide a roof. I can't. But you know what? I understand there's an elderly couple lives there too. And part of their roof was actually rotted right away. And there's a hole, and it's over the soffit, but it's not going to be long before water's going to be in that house. Somebody needs to go fix that. So maybe it's just an individual thing. Maybe we can just bless one person in the city. And if it's something you can do, just do it. If it's something that we need a church to do or several churches to do, then let's work that out and do it. But be a part of the change by loving God, loving our neighbors, in turn loving ourselves, ministering to Jesus. You want to say something, Dan? You already know who you're going to give it to. Amen. Amen. You know how many times we go into the store and there's a buy one, get one free, and we really don't need two? Get the free one and ask God, who could use this? Give it to somebody. Different thinking. Different working. Different understanding about who Jesus is in the city. We're not Jesus. We're the slaves. We're the ministers. We're the servants. Jesus is out there waiting for us to come and help him. Yes? Go right ahead. Yes. Awesome. Amen. Now, do you see? I am so glad that God is leading us in this direction because, I mean, even right here, just today, we've seen that, you know what? There's already material that's been prepared. There's people who are able to deliver it, and there's a need out there, and we need to be those servants and minister to Jesus. That is awesome. That's what I'm talking about. So remember, don't forget your homework. Think about needs in the city. Think about needs for individuals. You know, again, if it's just, if we help one person, it's one person more than what we helped last week, right? We'll be headed in the right direction. If you want to help out Brother Ben over here, go greet him. If you don't know Brother Ben, raise your hand up. Folks, that's Ben. Go greet him. Say, hey, you know what? I'd like to help you out with that, whether it's you know where some of those hats and gloves could go, or maybe you know you want to help him out with the finances of it. I'm telling you what, he took a hit to do that. What a blessing! What a step of faith! Praise the Lord! Let's stand. I hope you're getting as excited about this stuff as I am because I see God doing some awesome things. And I see the Church of Geneva, and again, that's not just our specific congregation here. I see the Church of Geneva, all the believers in Geneva, taking care of Geneva. This is a message that I'm sharing with other spiritual leaders. And it's for some of them, believe it or not, it's a new thought to some of them. It's like, what? You know what? Well, you know what? A year ago, it probably would have been a new thought for me too. But it's a direction that God is leading us. And I just want to walk in it. And I'm so grateful that you all last week showed your desire to walk in this too. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you have blessed us with your presence. You've blessed us, Lord God, in so many ways. But Lord, use our hands and use our feet, use our resources. Show us. Give us wisdom. Give us discernment. Lord, we don't want to cast pearls before swine, but we do want to be ministers to Jesus in our city and in our world. And so, God, I just pray that you will help us to do this according to your will and to do it in such an abundant way, God, that the city of Geneva would turn and look to you and get saved. Father, bless each one here today. And I pray that you will put in our hearts and our minds, open our eyes to the needs that are around us. Help us to put it on paper and to do something about it. bless each one this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you. I know I kept you a little long. I apologize for that. Greet one another before you leave. Tell people you're glad they're here. We'll be back here tonight at 6 o'clock.